We're in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 Mem, or that's the Hebrew letter for the stanza, if you will. So that's 119 verses 97 through 104. Hear God's holy word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm, and we thank you for the psalmist. A love for you and for your word and your commandments. Lord, make each of us here to love you and to love your word all the more. And bless us now, Lord, and bless he who brings your word, that we would hear what you were saying to us. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist, we could say, is in love. No, I don't mean that he found a wife. He's in love with the law of the Lord. But look how he speaks about God's law in the first verse. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. His wording really does kind of remind you of a man who's romantically in love with a woman. Oh, how I love my bride. I think of you all the time. But he's referring, of course, to God's commandment, God's word, God's law. This is the Mem stanza, as I've already said, and compared to the one that we looked at 2 weeks ago, where his soul and his eyes failed and he felt like a winecloth in smoke and cried out for renewed life. What a drastic change. He's literally singing the law's praise. He's in love with the law. C.S. Lewis wrote that he understood how the psalmist could respect a good law and try to obey it, but to love and delight in it seemed a bit like loving the instruments with which a dentist pulls out your teeth, or loving the front line of a battlefield. But the psalmist loves the law so much that he talks about thinking about it, meditating on it all the time, all the day. In other words, he did nothing at any time of the day without thinking about God and his word. He wanted to be sure that his paths were in accord with the law of the Lord. Jesus told us to pray without ceasing, because everything we do is to be done with prayer. Well, there's a sense in which we are to meditate without ceasing as well. All that we do is to be in view of giving glory to God. All that we do is to be in accord with God's commands. And so we ought to be always thinking about the word of God, the law of God, the commands of God, seeking in all things to bring glory and honor to our God. As we read this, do you found yourself challenged by such an intense love that the psalmist has here? Oh, how I love the law. I mean, can you say that honestly yourself? Oh, how I love God's commands. How I love his law. I just can't stop thinking about it. I think about it all the time. I meditate on it. Do you love the Lord in that same way? Well, today we're going to look at the psalmist's reasons for loving the law. Five things we'll look at. It imparts wisdom to us. It directs our path. It's the teaching of God himself. It's sweet. And it teaches us to hate false ways. And may these reasons here spur each of us on to a greater love and a greater delight for God and for what God speaks to us, for God's law, for God's commands. Well, the first reason that the psalmist gives for loving the law of the Lord is that it imparts wisdom. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. According to verse 98, it's God who makes us wise, but God uses means to make us wise. And the means that God uses to make us wise is indeed His Word, His commandment, what He says, what He speaks. James tells us, you know, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of us or if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Indeed, if you lack wisdom, if you need wisdom, you ought to be praying. And I sometimes think that when we read a verse like that just by itself, or we talk about it, we think if we're lacking wisdom, we ought to pray for wisdom. And then we kind of just go back and we sit down and we kind of wait for it to kind of just come. But that's not how it works, is it? God gives us wisdom through His commandments. So yes, pray for wisdom, but then look for wisdom in His Word. Look for what He says. Look for how to apply His Word in the situations that you are facing. Wisdom. You see, it's different than knowledge. It's like knowledge, but it's different than knowledge. It's the application of knowledge. It's the ability to apply knowledge to life, to live it out. God's commands make us wise. And so if you want to be wise, you need not only pray, you need to be men and women of the Word. You need to meditate upon it. You need to think upon it. Then you'll be wise. You see, God's command are not just a bunch of prohibitions and exhortations. They make you wise. They show you how to live the blessed life. They show you how to live a life that's pleasing to God. And really, God's commandments ought to be the envy of those around us. You remember what God told the Israelites before they entered the Promised Land? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Speaking of the law, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Even the nations will boast of the wisdom of God's people and their laws. We may not be pleased with all the laws of our land, but we ought to cherish the law of the Lord, His commandments. And perhaps the world will look at us and say, wow, look at the wisdom in that. Look at the blessing in that. We're missing out. God's law makes us wiser than our enemies. In the parable of the unjust steward who made use of unrighteous mammon to his advantage, Jesus said, Luke 16, verse 8, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. But shrewdness and wisdom are not the same thing. Worldly men know how to look after certain earthly affairs, but they do not have genuine wisdom, since what they have at best is for this life only, and at worst, perverted and destructive. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give to return or in return for his soul? True wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. The believer is wiser than his enemy because only he knows how to live a life that is truly blessed, how to please and to glorify God, how to live a life that's for his own good as well. God's law imparts wisdom. As we saw last time, God's law is exceedingly broad. And none of us can claim to have it kept perfectly, to know it perfectly. But it speaks to everyday issues. It speaks to all of life. Do you remember it even taught the Israelites that they were to have a place designated for their waste, for their bathroom, if you will, outside the camp? And that they were required to bury their excrement there because God walks in their camp, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Don't you think that was for their own benefit as well? History shows us nations had to learn this the hard way. Certain countries long ago, waste would be poured out in the streets and become a breeding ground for all kinds of disease. But God's word even imparted wisdom to things like this. God's word makes you wise. And when you follow it, there is always blessing. It may not be the blessing that you think of, but there is blessing in his word. Now, why is he sure that it makes him wiser than his enemies? It's because God's laws are ever with him. They're ever with him because he learned in verse 97 that he meditates on them all day long. God's laws, God's word is always with him. Matthew Henry said, a good man, wherever he goes, carries his Bible along with him, if not in his hands, yet in his head and in his heart. But not only did the psalmist say that they made him wiser than his enemies, he also said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now, is this the boast of some smart young student who thinks he has all the answers when he really doesn't? No. In each of these comparisons, the psalmist is thinking about those who appear to be wise by the world's standards, but who lack the deeper wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Were the Pharisees and teachers of the law in the New Testament filled with wisdom? Not really. Because they placed man-made traditions above the Word of God. They were filled with folly and a lack of understanding. Therefore, the young man, the young woman who takes the testimonies of God as his meditation is far wiser than the teachers of the world. Parents, here's a great reason for the Christian education of your children. Whether that be in the home or otherwise in a Christian school. But making sure that your children learn more than just arithmetic and grammar and history. When you study history, children, you should understand that history is not just what happened in the past. As we look at history, as we study history, we want to do that through the lens of Scripture, understanding that God is working, that God is doing something. When we study math, we want to do it with an understanding of God's Word and who He is, that He's a God of order. Even when we talk about grammar, how's that to be done in a Christian manner? How's our speech supposed to be? Way that's pleasing to God. Science and understanding of God's world and how things function in the world of God. It's God's commandments. It's God's word that makes you wise. Not merely a study of subjects, arithmetic, grammar, science, so forth. It's an understanding of God's word, God's commandments in the midst of all of this. And the psalmist also says, I understand more than the aged. Or the ancients, as some translations have it, for I keep your precepts. Brothers and sisters, God does tell us to respect those with gray hair, to respect the elderly. And with years, there often comes wisdom, particularly if those years are spent in the Word of God. However, that doesn't mean that the aged are always right. We ought not follow the tradition of the ancients merely for tradition's sake. Traditions are great if they're biblical. But if they're not biblical, then there's a problem. I remember a number of years ago visiting a Ukrainian museum with Lena and some others in Chicago, and we tried to share the gospel with an elderly woman there who was showing us around. And afterward, the woman pulled Lena aside, spoke to her in Ukrainian, and was telling Lena that she was forsaking the Russian Orthodox and the Ukrainian Orthodox tradition for the beliefs of her fathers, the beliefs of the aged who went before her, for other people. And Lena said, but the Bible says, she said it didn't matter. You need to respect the ancients, the aged, the elderly, your ancestors. But here's where a case then where my wife exhibited more understanding, more wisdom than the aged, the ancients. Lena wasn't to follow the ancients just for tradition's sake, just because that was her culture. And so the psalmist, first reason for loving the law is it makes him wise. I love it. It's my meditation. It makes me wise. It sets me for life. It makes me wiser than my enemies who I have to face, than the teachers of the world, than the aged. Of course I love it. The second reason why the psalmist loves the law is found in verse 101. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. The fact that he restrained or held back his feet assumes that his feet naturally want to walk in the path of sin. It's because they have a tendency, we have a tendency to follow the evil way, that our feet need restraining. And we need the word to restrain our feet, don't we? It's what the psalmist earlier wrote, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Or we know as well that your word is a light unto my path. It's through the word that the psalmist had his way cleansed, that he had his way directed, that he had his feet restrained. It's only the word that can cleanse and direct our way. And now the psalmist is saying that he restrained his feet so that he may keep the word. The word cleanses our way, and we restrain our feet so as to obey the word. Someone once said the word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word. There's a lot of truth in that. Brothers and sisters, there is one way to keep your way pure, to restrain your feet, and it is the word of God. Be in the word of God. It gives you wisdom. It restrains you. It guides and directs you. Another reason that he loves the law, that he loves the commandment of God, the word of God, is because he realized in it that God is his teacher. Verse 102. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Notice as he looks at God's rules, God's precepts, God's commands, what's he saying? You have taught me. This isn't the teaching of men. This is your teaching. This is your word. You yourself have taught me. Do you want to hear the word of God? Look at the word of God. So many people today, they think that the word is spoken through some kind of a dream, some kind of a mystical entering of the heart. And that's not how the Holy Spirit works. He works through the word. God teaches us, but he teaches us through his word. And he is the one that teaches us. We know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word, the scriptures, the writings are breathed out of the mouth of God. And indeed, the very word of God. Some translations here have inspired. Inspired gives the wrong impression, as if God's word just encourages and inspires, or it's breathed in. No, God's word, literally what is being said here, it's the scriptures are breathed out. They're breathed out of the mouth of God. so that when you look at the Word of God, God teaches you Himself. And if God's Word is being preached from the pulpit, God is teaching you. The psalmist loved God's rules, God's precepts, because he knew it was God teaching him. What a great reason to love the Word. What a great reason to be in the Word. What a great reason to meditate upon the Word. It's God's Word. Fourth thing that we see here, fourth reason the psalmist says that he loves God's commandment is because it's sweet to his taste. How sweet, verse 103, are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's similar to what David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even more fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. How often do you think of God's law as sweet? God's commandments, they're sweet tasting, they're desirable. It's something you want to savor, right? If something is sweet, what do you want to do with it? You want to enjoy it. You want to take time to savor it. You take time to savor the Word of God. Do you realize the sweetness of the Word of God? Children, do you study? Do you read the Bible every day? Right? Do you have a Bible on your desk, on your dresser, nightstand, wherever? Do you remember to read it? Sometimes I think we'd say something like, oh man, I forgot to read the Bible today. Sometimes we do that, children and adults, right? But what if you had on your nightstand a chocolate bar instead? You get up in the morning and you look at the chocolate bar and you forgot to eat it. It's not going to happen, is it? Because it's sweet, it's desirable, it's something you want. Well, we ought to understand God's Word that way as well. It's something that we want. But we don't always want it the way we should, do we? Well, why does the psalmist love it so much? How can it? Can he find it to be so sweet? Well, think about some of the many things, the many promises that are in God's Word. Things like Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How sweet does that sound? Knowing that we're sinners and we get to hear there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or how sweet is it to read things like this in the midst of a troubling and difficult time, Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How sweet is that? Or have you ever had been in a bad situation, some kind of turmoil with mom or dad or maybe both of them? And then maybe you read something like 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We're children of God. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. So many things we could just look at here. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. It's all one sentence, by the way, in the original. It's as if Paul, in that section there, is just so excited about the goodness of God that he reads it without stopping. There's no punctuation. There's no end of a sentence. It's just one sentence. Now, I'm going to try to read it like that. I don't think I'm going to make it through it. But I want to try to give the sense of the joy, the excitement he has in it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption. I'm not going to be able to do it. Through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. I mean, Paul is just talking about the blessings. We have every spiritual blessing, and then he's going on and listing these great things. If you can't find anything sweet in these verses to savor, there's something wrong with your taste buds, if you will. God's word is sweet. Does it say things that are hard? Yes. But there's a sweetness as well, as we know that it's our God who's directing our path. Finally, the psalmist says that he loves the law because it teaches him to hate all false ways. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Through your commandments, through your precepts, through your instruction, I get understanding, and I hate, therefore, every false way. Stanza ends the opposite of the way it began. It began with the psalmist saying that he loved the law. Now he's saying that he hates false ways. I love your law. I hate false ways. A love for God's word and the truth of God's word leads us to hate false ways. Hearts that have gained understanding from the Lord's precepts cannot be indifferent to falsehood. So people of God, while I've called you to love the law of the Lord, I also want to call you to hatred today. Hatred of ways that are false. You should hate false ways. You should hate false religions. Judaism, which denies the coming of Christ. Mormonism, which talks about there being many gods, and it's a salvation by works. Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. If you love the truth, you need to hate these and other false ways. Now, I didn't say you hate those who are involved in it. Hopefully you love them enough to try to share the gospel with them if they'll listen. But I remember different times, Mormons coming to my door, trying to share the good news with them, and then watching them go to my neighbor's door and not wanting my neighbor to be led astray in a false way. There are things that God calls us to hate. We're to hate false ways that creep into true churches. There are dangerous views of justification that are creeping into the church today, changing the gospel. We're exchanging the true gospel for a false gospel. We ought to hate those things. Be careful of those things. But God's word gives us wisdom, so we can be alert to those things. He wasn't deceived by those false ways. The psalmist loved God's word because it taught him what was false, and to hate that which was false. Children, let me say to you again, too. You ought to read your Bible and read it regularly. It's not something that's only for grown-ups to do. You're to love the Word of God yourself. You shouldn't have to be reminded to have your Bible time daily. If you realize the sweetness of it, you won't forget it. I'll confess to you, children, yes, parents forget it too at times. But we ought to aim not to, knowing its sweetness. Meditate on it. Think about God's word. How to apply it to the struggles that you face. Children face struggles too. Adults know that. And the word is your guide. It's your help. It's your wisdom. It will make you wise. Spend time in the word. It is sweet. It is good. and praise God for His grace to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise You for Your Word. And we pray that we would be a people who would regularly sit under the teaching of Your Word. That we would be a people who would regularly meditate upon Your Word. That we would be a people who would go about always with Your Word, if not in our hands, but Lord, in our minds and in our hearts, to serve and to glorify You. Lord, give us an understanding of how to love You more. We thank You that You are our teacher through Your Word. And so, Father, teach us and strengthen us to live for You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.